armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea
you
what you're doing?
Do you have any idea?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station. The radio station you can call your own. Listeners like about our station?
I like everything.
It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. Well, Buffalo suck. Washington sucks.
Armchair.
Denver really sucks.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
Howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Welcome to the Armchair Quarterbacks Radio of Braves Country today. Tones, how the hell are you, sir?
Doing great, brother. Ready to rock and roll in today's beautiful world of Braves Country. And I'm ready for Monday Night Football tonight. I will be in attendance later at Bucks-Eagles. I'm all ready for that.
Yeah, I got your your board up in the background for folks who are listening on radio can't see it, but Tones' favorite teams are up there on the board. If y'all are wondering what the hell do the Buccaneers and Penn State have in common? Well, these are Tones' favorite teams. He's going to the game tonight, so I kind of forgotten I'd made these, and I saw him sitting up there. I was like, well, this is a perfect day to bust these back out. We'll get into that game here in a little bit, but all in all, do you have a great feeling tonight? Like do you feel like you're gonna go watch a W, or are you hoping you don't see a slaughter? Like where are you at as a fan?
I'm thinking we keep it close. I'm thinking the Buccaneers are going to hang in there with the Eagles. I think that we're playing the Eagles at a proper time. I think the Eagles aren't playing their best brand of football, and I think the Buccaneers now being the only turnover-free team in the NFL after Dak turned it over yesterday. If they continue that turnover-free football of play, I think they'll keep it close with the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm very interested, and it's crazy. I didn't even realize it. So we've been talking, and the thing is, I knew it, hadn't computed it in my head. We once again get two Monday night games, right? It's wild because it wasn't until, I don't know, it was around Friday when you were referring that you're going to the game. I was like, yeah, man, that's going to be cool. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, all right, so that's the game. I'm going, wait a minute, don't the Bengals play the Rams? I must have that mistaken. That must be Sunday night football. I go to look at it, go, they're doing this again. So I don't know how many times they're going to do it. I remember when they made the announcement, but my God, how long ago has that been? I think they do it three times this year, but I can't remember. But this is back-to-back weeks. We're going to have Monday Night Football. I guess they're trying to squeeze this in before the playoffs start, right, in the Major League Baseball. Because they don't want to be going up against that with two different games. So, but yeah, that's... it's going to be interesting. I'll tell you what, if Joe Burrow ends up not playing tonight, then all eyes are going to be on the Philadelphia game. If Burrow plays against the Rams, then I think that game gets the bigger audience. But if not, then everyone's going to want to see Baker Mayfield. Can he do it against the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, I agree with you. If Burrow plays, that's going to be huge for that Bengals game in particular, and that should be the gold star of the night. But if Burrow doesn't play, I think you're going to get a lot of people shifting to Tampa, Philly in a quick, because Burrow, without him, not sure how good that Bengals team will hold up.
All right, so first thing that we're going to do is we're going to jump at your four at four. What you got kicking on the four at four on a Monday, Overreaction Monday? What you got kicking?
Overreaction indeed, McGee. We called this one here on Braves Country, but Prime was washed out of the building on Saturday. He got absolutely boat raced by Oregon, and they're still promoting him like crazy for next week's game at USC. Prime, was it a flash in the pan, or do you think he has some sustainability throughout the rest of the year?
No, I've said all along it's a fraud that that they overhyped the first three games because you could see what was coming. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm some kind of Nostradamus for calling it on our Saturday show, but I told everyone on Saturday show this isn't going to be a game. And I told everyone that I was going to bang the under because I felt like Colorado couldn't score. That the only way the 70 hits is if Colorado won 70-0, and you know hit the nail on that head. I felt like Oregon took the gas pedal off. They could have easily hung 60 plus. And I was glad that they didn't, because I had taken the under, but I was sitting there going, man, oh man alive, this could get slap ass ugly. Like, you know, and then if they go up there and hang 60 something all day, they got to do sneak in the end zone a couple of times. So thankfully I was correct, but it's going to be another disaster. The only thing they have going in their favor, it's at home, and it's an early kickoff. Mm-hmm. And already the shine is off this game, because people don't realize when they go, oh, this is still a big game, it's the big noon kickoff. No, it's not. If it was a big game, it would be 3:30 or later, and it's like 10 a.m. local time. So let's be realistic on what this is. This was the biggest game Fox could figure out to start, but the boat race is on. I believe USC is going to put up a ton of points. Now, their defense isn't as good as Oregon, so Colorado will score some, but I don't know. I'm thinking it's going to be very, very much like last Sunday, a four-touchdown victory.
I'm thinking so as well, and that would be a thing that college football probably doesn't want to see, but we're going to see it, right? And speaking of going to see it, the Broncos, nobody wants to see them right now. Sean Payton lost a disastrous game yesterday. They lost by 50 points. Do you think it's Russell Wilson, Sean Payton, or the combination of both as to why this Denver team isn't ready to roll seemingly in 2023?
Well, Sean Payton just took the team over, so I can't put it all at his feet. I think what Sean Payton is figuring out when he got in there, maybe he should have done his research. Maybe he should have picked somewhere else to go. Who knows? But I think he wanted to see for himself, what do we have in Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson is a shell of his former self. Russell Wilson is done as far as being an elite quarterback. And they gave him way too much money. Way too much money. Now, if Sean Payton is in this for the long haul, then it's not that big of a deal, because they're going to tank for our guy we just kind of talked about his team, but Caleb Williams. And I would love to see what Sean Payton could do with the Caleb Williams. And wouldn't that be fun, seeing Caleb Williams, Justin Herbert, and Patrick Mahomes all in the same division for the next decade, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you're Sean Payton at this point, do you even try to win a game? Because I literally want to tank to get Caleb. And then I don't know what – we haven't unpacked all that. We'll worry about that in the offseason realistically. But what it would take to get out of this Russell Wilson mess, could they trade him to somebody? Could they eat some of it? Anything to get him the hell out of the building.
And I think they might end up doing just so, because as you alluded to, it's getting to be a beating on a drum with Russell Wilson. Same thing, different week. Speaking of – beating on a drum, the poor Braves are getting a little beat up pitching staff wise. As we know, Max headed to the IL last week. Now Charlie Morton looks like he's heading there as well. What's your feel on the Braves rotation as they do head into the postseason? Obviously still one of the heavy favorites, but They are getting a little dinged up in the starting roto.
Yeah, Charlie Morton placed on the IL back on Sunday morning. He is ineligible for the NLDS at this point. Now, been through this a few times, but the cliff notes are there are ways around it. You can add him via injury. So if someone gets injured on the roster, and kind of laid this out before, but you could literally put someone on your roster that you don't expect to use in game 3, 4, or 5 or the NLCS. You know, my suggestion has been Colin McHugh, but you just name a guy that you're like, hey, we might need him for mop-up role in the first couple of games, but after that, this guy sucks, and we don't want him in anything that's going to matter from games 3, 4, and 5, and we don't want him in the NLCS, so we'll just put him on the IL, and then we can always have him available for the World Series if need be, right? The other, there's another crazy way of doing things, but essentially you could add him that way. But I don't even know if he's going to be ready by then. So this may be a moot point. This may be, and you already saw it take place on Sunday's game. They are taking Kyle Wright and putting him in the bullpen, getting him used to coming in and out of the bullpen, which he's done before in his career. That reads the tea leaves to me like, Game 3 is probably going to be a bullpen game with like a Bryce Elder starting it, but knowing the problems that he's had in the backstretch as a young pitcher, that they're going to piggyback Kyle Wright into that. I really think that's where they're going. But they probably don't even know where they're going, because they probably don't even – they're going to wait and see how his it's basically being called a sprain – on his finger, but they're going to see where he's at.
And all you can do is hope that they get healthy as the stretch goes on. You know, they're going to be in it for the long haul regardless. Speaking of in it for the long haul, the Cubs ended up taking control of their own destination this weekend en route to sweeping the Colorado Rockies at home. It was much needed on the Cubs' behalf. Do you think they have what it takes to reach the finish line at this point now that they control their own destiny over teams as such as the Marlins and the Reds? It seems like, although the Cubs have a very tough schedule, the Braves and so forth, it's the Cubs to lose at this point.
Yeah, so essentially, if we want to take a look at that real quick, so thankfully for the baseball fan or the sports fan, this is a very quiet day in the world of baseball. Which is strange because we're on the very last week, right? But you only have – these are the games today. This is it. Arizona and the Yankees played at 1 o'clock today. The only reason why that even took place was because of the storm that came through. Rangers and Astros later tonight. Astros and Mariners late tonight. And Padres and Giants late tonight. That was all designed – because they didn't want to go up against Monday Night Football. So you notice all three series that were originally scheduled for today are taking place at 9:40 Eastern and later. So to me, that's very interesting. But anyways, I think all in all, with this wild card race in the National League, I do think the Cubs are going to get through there, mainly because you're not going to see any of our big guns in this series against Braves versus Cubs. You're going to get, basically the Island of Misfit Toys out there in the pitching staff. Strider pitched on Sunday, so he's not pitching. Freed's on the IL, Morton's on the IL, so there you go. Philly is obviously going to punch their ticket. In fact, they are, I want to say their magic number may be 1. It's 2 at the most. So they're punching their ticket. Mm-hmm. Then it comes down to Cubs, Diamondbacks, Marlins, still with a pulse, but barely are the Reds. The Reds,
I agree with that.
I mean, the Reds are heading in to Monday's action. The Reds are 3 games in the loss column behind the Cubs, two behind the Marlins, and four behind the Diamondbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Reds, here's the other thing. Here's the kicker with the Reds. First of all, you should have swept the damn Pirates. You damn sure shouldn't have lost the series. So you got nothing but yourself to blame if you're a Reds fan. The Reds this week, they don't have six games. They've got five. And they're all on the road at Cleveland and at St. Louis. Two in Cleveland, two in St. Louis, three in St. Louis. I mean, I hate to tell the Reds, but they damn near have to sweep the week. I think best case. Okay, the worst you could do and still make the plus is probably 4-1 this week. But you probably need to sweep, because what if one of the other teams gets hot, or two of the other teams get hot?
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel like that the Cubs are going to be in.
Battle.
I think the Diamondbacks are going to be in. To me, the big question is, will it be the Marlins coming up and making some noise with the Cubs and Diamondbacks? Or will the Marlins fade into the night? Cubs are what? At Atlanta. Excuse me. They are at Atlanta.
Then we get another tough series after Atlanta.
What's that? They are at Atlanta, and then they are at Milwaukee. But Milwaukee is playing for nothing at this point. So
very true.
So with Milwaukee playing nothing for this point, that's actually an advantage for the Cubs. I know it's on the road. And sure, Milwaukee would love to be a thorn in their sides, but you think Milwaukee's putting their best foot forward when they know they start a series on Tuesday? Hell no. Hell no. Mm-mm. It says Corbin Burns is pitching on Sunday. There is 0% chance that Corbin Burns starts on Sunday. It says Freddie Peralta pitches on Friday. That may happen, but he'll 2-3 innings, right? Just keep him loose. So the Cubs have it in front of them, even though they are on the road against two teams that are heading to the playoffs. And if I would have told you this 3 months ago, you'd be like, holy crap, that's going to suck. But the Braves are going to have nothing to play for, we would think. I mean, the Braves have a little bit to play for this week against the Cubs, but they're not going to deploy their best arms. And the Brewers, by Friday, will have nothing to play for.
Very true. Good points there. That's good news for the Cubs. And I like our chances. Just going to hang tough in the last week of the year. If we could take two from each, I truly feel like we'll get in there.
Yeah, and the other thing that I want to look at real quick, too, because I haven't looked at theirs in a while. I kind of remember their – I believe it was a tough Arizona later this week. They that's right. Okay, so they're at the White Sox, which obviously is advantage Arizona, right? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I'm not seeing – oh, geez. They're going up against Schultens, Tukey, Toussaint, and Urena. I mean, those are three batting practice games. Now, they're going to counter with putting Zach Davies and Brandon Fatt on the mound two of those games. So there's going to be some high-scoring games in Chicago is all I'm trying to say. but this weekend, they're at home against the Astros. And the Astros have nothing locked up. They're going to be playing. So that is a bad problem for Arizona. They better sweep the White Sox is where I'm at with them, right? I mean, you can't go stumbling down the stretch into the last week of the season. I mean, the last weekend of the season, and you're gonna pull. You're at home, but you got to play the Astros, who are fighting for a playoff spot. The only thing that could save you is if the Astros, like, somehow clinch a playoff spot by the end of the, but you know, by Friday or Saturday, and then they take the foot off the gas.
Yeah,
but the Marlins are at the Mets and at
Pittsburgh. Which will be hard. Is that good for the Cubs? I'm looking.
The Marlins are at
that.
The Marlins are at New York and at Pittsburgh.
Oof.
So exactly, two crappy teams, but for whatever reason, the Marlins get owned in New York. I don't know what it is, but it's been like that forever. Because I remember several times pulling for Miami to beat the Mets when we're doing a, you know, we're chasing them down in the division, and the Mets just throttle them in New York. And Pittsburgh's actually playing some of the better baseball in the National League in the second half. So all is not lost there.
Pirates just took it to the Cubs. I was going to add in as well. You never know. Sometimes you see these games on a schedule and they arise and it's like, these should be some wins. But the Cubs the past week before the sweep we got against the Rockies, we were struggling with teams like the Pirates. So hopefully the Pirates could keep up their competitive edge here and help us out a little bit.
Are you ready for silver lining? Kodai Senga goes for the Mets on Wednesday. He's been damn good.
Really good.
Mitch Keller goes for the Pirates Sunday, the last game of the season. Woo! That right there could get sticky for the Marlins. And every game starts at 3:05 Eastern on Sunday. Just for folks. Every game. They do that so no one has a competitive advantage. I love the fact that they do that in baseball. I still
think NFL should almost do the same thing on the last week of the year.
They do what they try to do because they want everyone sitting wall-to-wall watching football. What they do is they want to announce the kickoffs, and then they try to line it up, right, to where no kickoff has any competitive advantage. But sometimes it's impossible to lay that out. Plus, most of the time in the NFL, it's now week 18 is just garbage because everybody's clinched or what have you. It was different back in the day when A, you had less games, and B, you had less teams getting in. Now, like last year, I remember last year there was like nothing. I think there was like a seeding on the line for the Sunday night game, right? It's like, ugh. A few years back, I remember Titans and Colts going head-to-head, and then that was really fun because the winner was winning the division, the loser walked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially what you had last year. I think that was Saturday night they played that. In Jacksonville, the Titans and the Jaguars. But anyways.
When Dobbs had a play.
Yeah. Old Dobbs. And now he's kicking butt and taking names on the Dallas Cowboys. How about that? Rocket scientists taking the Cardinals to the moon. Let's take a quick break. It's a little past 4:20. Smoke them if you got them. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country today. 99.1 FM WQEE. And Braves Country Radio HD.
Having somebody making wild decisions that make no sense, that benefits nobody.
Oh, yes. Right, yes.
Is he listening to us? I can't tell.
He's listening. He's not understanding.
Yeah, he doesn't even, like, get us, man. We're talking about you. Ah.
Big news and the big games covered in the Big Ten by the armchair quarterbacks all year long.
Third down and about 22. As Smith drops the ball, he's got his tight end. But he's got Carter downfield, and he's gone. Michigan leads the game with a first touchdown on a bullet, a bomb to Carter, 71 yards.
Now State's lead, 7-3. There he goes. So long. Ohio State, touchdown.
That's that old 1-2 punch you fake to him the first time, and then have it a second time.
In his career, Lorenzo White, 15 times, rushed for 100 yards in a half. Five of those this season. On second and 10.
Long, long throw to Rison, and he's open. All the way to the 6-yard line.
Big Ten football covered in the Southeast by the armchair quarterbacks.
Hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
Hey sports fans, weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks.
weekdays 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays 3 to 5 p.m. drive time on WQEE.
I don't know who needs to hear this today, but if 99% of the people in the world find you ugly, 78 million still find you attractive. And out of those 78 million, 49 million of those are blind, and 29 million just have bad taste because you ugly.
Welcome back! Time for the Armchair Top 10 here on Braves Country today. And you haven't heard this segment before? Well,
you're in Braves Country.
Armchair Top 10. It's compiled by me, myself, and I, mainly because we're too damn busy to correspond. I used to try to do that where we get everybody's votes for the show, and until this becomes a full-time venture for everybody, that is just a disaster. No one gets them in time. I'll be giving them on the show. Someone will try to give me their picks at the very end, and then it's like trying to compute all that crap. Screw it. I give you the top 10, and Tones reacts. He can push back, whatever. It's just a fun segment. Basically, where I'm coming at is this. These are the top 10 teams in America today. Not who I necessarily think is going to win it all in the end. Not necessarily who I think is going to be, you know, is necessarily who would beat who on the field right now. No, it's today. You always get that crap with the ESPN. I don't even remember what they call it, but their reaction to when the top four are released in November, the first show they do is always like, well, you gotta look at this. And no. Who's the best today? Because it's all gonna file out in the end. All right. Mm-hmm. So let me go ahead and get into it. So real quick, I'll rattle off the AP top 10. I don't do the other top 10s because the AP is the closest thing to being legit. It's number 1 through 10 goes Georgia, Michigan, Texas, Ohio State, Florida State, Penn State, Washington, USC, Oregon, and Utah. On the outside looking in, Notre Dame is 11, and then it's Bama, LSU, Oklahoma, and North Carolina. We'll cut that off in the top 15. All right. This is the Armchair Top 10, the real top 10 in America, by God, and that has been decided by Tones and I. This is it. And I don't mind if we move a team up here and there, up and down. You know, I can be talked into that. But this is how I see it at this point.
Let's go.
Number 10 team in America. I'm sorry, but they're not dead yet, y'all. They're not dead. They've resurrected from the grave, the Alabama Crimson Tide. I thought that they looked much better. Now they were playing Ole Miss. Ole Miss's offense looks like a hot mess. But for right now, and I can understand why people would want other teams above them, but I'm going to go with Alabama, mainly because Alabama lost to what I think is one of the better teams in the country today. Number 9. We've ignored them long enough. Put the Utah Utes up there at number 9. They got another win on Saturday. I thought it was a pretty impressive win. You know, you look at Utah. I know they're a low scoring, boring team. I get it, but Cam Rising. I mean, when they get him back in the mix and get everything rolling with him, this offense could look much better. But their defense, 14-7. You don't expect to see 14-7, by the way, in the Pac-10. I mean, Pac-12 conference, right? Like that's not a that is a Big Ten in November score. Number 17. I really haven't watched them much, but I'm impressed of what little I have seen. Give me Washington, man. It'll be interesting, but they came flying out the gate Saturday. Now, they ended up giving up a bunch of points late, but let me tell y'all, that game was over. They were in prevent mode. That game was over. In fact, I put a bet, a late night bet, Tones, on getting Cal and Arizona State in the points. And I'm watching both. And I always, this only happens because I've been having some cervezas all day long. Started with a new kickoff of Florida State Clemson. And then you had the Alabama game with Colorado kicking off at the same time. And then I watched a little bit of the Penn State, but that was a slaughter. And then was locked into that Notre Dame game. Buddy of mine came over. He left. And I'm like, I'm not ready to go to bed yet. Let's watch these games. So I've put some, I put very, very little money. I just make it interesting. That game started to blow out. I was like, screw this, I'm going to bed. I woke up, I was like, oh, it covered. Somehow they came back. They were getting 27.5, and Cal came back and lost by 27. I mean, on a late cover.
That's crazy.
At one point, that game was an
absolute. Love it.
I'm trying to remember what that score was when I went to bed. Looks like, yeah, halftime, 45-12.
Holy
and I was
crap.
Like, this is not going to turn out good. This isn't. It just isn't. It's bad. It's bad. And that's why I went to bed. And I knew
those
Arizona
are the
was
best.
I knew Arizona, I mean, Arizona State was going to cover because they were playing pretty competitive. You could tell USC was going to wear them down, but that was actually a pretty good ball game. All right, so Washington is my number 18. This one's going to shock you. Are you ready for this one? Number 7 in the country. Okay. Despite previous reports, it's the Michigan Wolverines. And I know they're ranked number 2. What the hell has Michigan done? They look sloppy against Rutgers. They haven't played anybody. Now, look, I get it. Their schedule's coming, and at that point, they'll have an absolute chance to right the ship. But Michigan, I mean, they just haven't impressed. And I feel like other teams have been much better. And if you ask me to a man, would they lose to teams I'm about to give you above them? Or from what I've seen so far, yeah. So give me Michigan. When is their next big game? Because they, I mean, they have been cup. Them and Georgia have been cupcake city all damn game, all year long. Let me see. Michigan. I want to say that they are, yeah, they are, okay, so they're at Nebraska this week. Yeah, that's still not, it's interesting. It'd be fun to see Nebraska have a puncher's chance, but I don't think they do. They go to Minnesota. They should maul them, but it'll be a low-scoring affair. They're at home against Indiana. They're at Michigan State. And at home against Purdue. Their first game of the season, honestly, is November 11th at Penn State. This is Cupcake City. I can't keep putting Michigan in the top 5 when they play nobody. And if they lose one game, correct, they may be gone because their resume is that bad. I could see.
That's for sure.
I mean, I could see an argument if they were to drop a game to, let's say, Penn State, or let's say they just drop a shocker. Let's say Nebraska gets them, right? But then they run the table and win the Big Ten. Yeah, they could probably get back in. But they have a much smaller room for error than other teams. They don't play anybody. It's not all their faults the way the schedule lined up this year, but some of it is. Let's be honest, some of it is. You're playing East Carolina and all that kind of crap. I mean, I'm sorry, that's on you. All right. Number 6. This might shock a few.
Non-conference games are pathetic.
Huh?
Michigan's non-conference games were pathetic.
Oh, it is. You know, I know you famously were mocking the Georgia schedule. Georgia looks like they're in the National Football League compared to Michigan. I mean, this is ridiculous.
You're not lying there. I agree with you 100%.
All right, are you ready for the number 6 team in the land? This is going to get under people's dander because they're going to be like, how dare you? We just won a big game. Ohio State Buckeyes. That was an impressive win. It was impressive that they went on the road. Their offense stinks. It will continue to stink. And when they play someone with firepower, I no longer believe that Ohio State should be favored in the Penn State game. That's all I'm going to say. Number five in the land. This one will be like, what? Oregon. Give me the Oregon Ducks. Quack, quack. They looked very impressive. The only reason why I'm not going to shoot them straight up towards the top is, I mean, they beat Colorado. Colorado sucks, okay? I'm glad we finally got the shine off of Colorado, but let's be real, right? Number four in the land. Man, I'm on the fence. I almost put them at three, but I'm going to put them at four, mainly just to get your reaction. Give me the Penn State and Nittany Lions. I thought, look, I know they haven't quite had that big test yet, but Iowa's a solid team. I don't think Iowa is going to be a team that we're going to look at the end of the year and go, man, they're solid. They'll go bowling. They'll probably end up with around three or four losses total for the year, but they're a solid team. They manhandled them. Number three, they go back up the polls because they get a big W on the road. Give me the Florida State Seminoles. Mm-hmm. I still think we got a lot of questions, and that's why I almost put Penn State. You know what? Screw it. We're flip-flopping it. Penn State goes to three. Florida State goes to four. Because the more and more I think about it, look, they got some big plays out of that defense and a huge catch by Keon Colin, Cole. But, honest engine, Florida State was pathetic because – there is something wrong with Jordan Travis, and they need to get the SOB healthy. He was, let me tell you something, in that game, there were many opportunities on the RPO where he should have kept the ball, and he normally does, and he would have been gone for about 10 to 15 yards. And he was not an option. Clemson no longer worried about it. On the RPO, they were crashing the line because they knew he wouldn't keep it because he was hurting. So they're off this week. They play a very manageable schedule. A couple of games after that, they're at home against Virginia Tech. They play Syracuse. They got to get Travis healthy because he's not going to win another big game. I mean, that was smoke and mirrors is what it was. So I'll put Florida State 4, Penn State 3, because if I'm being honest, though the FSU win is more impressive and they've beaten LSU, but looking at what they looked like on Saturday, if Jordan Travis can't be healthy, then they've got to get somebody ready to toss the rock around and run, be a running option. And the thing is about this Jordan Travis is much like I've talked about with the Braves front office and the starting pitching. You knew this was a problem. He's always getting hurt. That's why I laughed when they talked about Heisman. I'm like, he's not going to win a Heisman. He'll play eight games. You just hope it's the right eight games. That's all you're, you know? All right, number two in the country, the Texas Longhorns. I'm sorry, but Texas, man. They went into Alabama. I get it. A lot of folks are still probably on that, you know, I got to see it to believe it. But what I've seen so far, Texas belongs there. Now, they're at home this week against Kansas. That's a fun one. It's a team nobody's really talking about. But they went into Baylor, a team that they normally struggle with, and blew them out 38-6.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I like Texas. Texas has looked incredible.
What is your thoughts on that top 10? Any pushbacks? Any team I leave off that you're like, what the hell, man? You got to have them in. All right, so we've lost Tones. We'll be back in a flash, and we'll figure out Tones' issues on the technical side when we come back.
Well, don't mind me. I'm just here to install this smoke detector.
Smoke detector? Is that... detect any kind of smoke? Long live the king.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
ACC football covered like no other here on the Armchair Quarterback.
Against the blitz, touchdown Florida State! Rock Preston scores the touchdown, and now it's Bowden's decision, and he sends Mowry onto the field right away. Danny Cannell is the holder. Mowry touches! This game is over. A 31-31 tie. A 31-31 tie.
A deep throw by Lawrence. A lot of contact. Justin Ross broke free from it. He's down in the end zone. Touchdown, Clemson.
Justin Ross, a freshman wide receiver. Big, rangy. And Trevor Lawrence knows, throw it up against that single coverage. Give him a chance to make a play on a 50-50 ball.
If you're a fan of the ACC, pull up an armchair. You're home.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Well, welcome back. Season's finally here.
The Armchair Quarterbacks are back. Saturdays, 10 a.m., you'll be tailgating with the Armchair Quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Joey Intones, and the rest of the Armchair Quarterbacks live, 10 a.m., Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. Right here on Braves Country HD, 99.1 FM, WQEE.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Would you knock me down a flight of stairs for $4 million?
I'd do it for a $5 scratch off and a bag of Doritos.
Because he's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American.
Welcome back. Hopefully we got Tones' audio figured out. Tones, you are muted, just a heads up. So as we come back in, try to put a bow on this show. That was wild and kooky stuff, man. There was some feedback and echoing, and I was like, where's the damn button to get him out of the freaking thing, man? Because you, I don't think you could hear what was going on, and I was trying to get you out of the screen. Without, if you press the wrong button on my end, it goes from not just removing you from the recording, from the show, you wouldn't be able to get back in, and they're right next to each other. So I'm always worried I'm gonna hit the wrong button. All right, you there, my friend?
Yes, sir. I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's take her home.
All right. So Monday Night Football. We still don't know 100% what's going on with the Joe Burrow thing. That game, real quick. If Burrow's in it, if Burrow does play, and I know competitive advantage, they're going to try to keep that all the way to kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
Any way you look at it, the Bengals are in trouble, because I don't believe if he does play that he is anywhere close to 100% if you saw him last night or last week. The Bengals are a 3-point favorite. So it's looking more and more like they may be giving him a go. But even still, man, I'm riding the Rams train all night long. What say you?
Yeah, Burrow, even playing the first couple weeks, hasn't looked like Burrow, right? Hasn't looked like the big money bags that he got that big contract for. I think you're leaning in the right direction in this one. The Rams have surprisingly looked pretty fresh the first 2 weeks. I know last week they got beat up late in the fourth quarter against the best team in the league, the 49ers. But I do agree with you. I think the Rams and the points are the way to go tonight, especially if Burrow is out. As you said, we'll have to keep up monitoring that, but I'd go with the Rams and the points as of now.
Yeah, he went through some kind of a workout this morning. They're still going to be tight-lipped, but it's starting to leak that it's trending like he's going to play. I think it's a bad idea, man. I really do. If you're looking at the big picture for the Bengals, and I get that they don't want to start 0-3, I totally understand that. But, hey, they just gave that man a lot of money. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, if you look at the Bengals' schedule going forward, they're at Tennessee next week. If you can have a healthy Burrow, Tennessee looked awful yesterday. Bengals normally play well against the Titans. You need to have that win. You don't need to make the thing worse, and then on a short week is he going to play against the Titans. And then you could be 0-4, and then your season's over. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He is at Arizona. We've seen that is a very tough place to play this year.
Mm.
And then they are at home against Seattle. They have not been a pushover. Then they get the bye week. And I saw some folks talking about, well, if they can just get to the bye week and get them healthy. First of all, being 0-6 is not an option. At that point, you might as well just shut them down and go, screw it, we're tanking. They come out of that bye week at San Francisco at home against Buffalo. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. It's not looking good.
Tough waters, man. I mean, as you said with the Burrow thing as well, it's like you need a win here soon. They're in a tough spot. Do you play him a little banged up? Do you rest him? But
What can you get out of Jake Browning? The thing about the Rams have been better than I expected. I don't think they're on that Super Bowl level yet, but their offense without Cooper Kupp has been surprisingly explosive.
That kid's been incredible, that wide receiver, Nacua.
Nacua, Atwell.
Mm-hmm.
Kyren Williams has looked pretty well in the backfield. I expect him to score some major points. If y'all can hear that, I do apologize. They're doing some lawn care outside our window, and of course they decided to do it just in the middle of the show. You know, why the hell wouldn't they? Right?
They had it teed up like that. They knew it,
right? And I've got a portable AC unit that's in the window, so my window's not actually closed like it normally is because it's hotter than hell. Has been in Florida, and so I can't sit in the studio anymore with no AC. It sucks. So, so I do apologize. I don't know how much of that's coming through, but if you can hear it, I do apologize. Anyways, what the hell was I saying before for Foghorn Leghorn was in the background? essentially, we're in a situation with the Bengals. Man, it's almost you damned if you do, you damned if you don't. Because if you don't start them, is your season over? Can you beat the Rams? Even though you're at home, can you beat the Rams? And this is another big night, too. You know, Ocho Cinco and Boomer Esiason are getting put into the Ring of Honor tonight.
Oh, wow.
So, congratulations to them. They just started a Ring of Honor. It hasn't been that long ago. So, when you go...
Yeah, I was going to say, Boomer should have...
Yeah, exactly. I think everyone's first reaction is, shouldn't Boomer already be in that? They've only had it for a few years.
Makes sense.
But, I mean, hell, Maybe throw some of those 1980 shoulder pads on Boomer Esiason and let him go out there and play quarterback.
See what he's got left in the tank for tonight's game if Burrow doesn't suit up.
I mean, I would think that Boomer and Chad Ochocinco could, you know, pull off a button hook or two, right?
Ochocinco, man, he was crazy. When he was on his game, Ochocinco was incredible. I remember watching him in his prime, and he got a little cuckoo at the end.
His problem was he changed his name. That was the stupidest thing he ever did. Chad Johnson was much better than Ochocinco.
Yeah, for real. Chad Johnson was a better player than Ochocinco.
He plateaued, changed to Ochocinco, and he had some good games, don't get me wrong, but you started seeing the downfall.
And that was really the original, highlight of Hard Knocks is when Ochocinco was with the Dolphins, I want to say, and they released him live on camera, or either New England or Miami, but one of the two, he got released on camera.
Oh, by then I'd already quit watching Hard Knocks, so I don't remember that. I started watching Hard Knocks at the very beginning. And by that season, I don't even know what season you're referring to. I tried to give it a try this year. It's unwatchable. With the Aaron Rodgers, I was like, okay, well, maybe this would be interesting. It's the same damn script over and over every year.
Mm-hmm.
They go in. The only reason to watch it is if you're a fan of that team. And you're like, okay, I'd like to see the guys that I watch every Sunday, what are they like behind camera? That is the only reason to watch it. But if you're a fan of other teams, it is unwatchable crap.
Mm-hmm.
If the Titans ever got it, I would watch it. If the Falcons ever got it, I would watch it, mainly just to see what the players are like. But you could have the Chiefs, right? I wouldn't watch it. It's unwatchable junk. They do the same thing over and over. All week long, you know, fart jokes here and there. They get the bulk of the damn show is them doing NFL film style video of the game itself that you already know the outcome to a preseason game. And then inevitably someone's getting released and they're going to have a heartfelt, you just keep your head up. It's going to be the same junk every year. And then past 5-6 years, at least one, sometimes two coaches are trying to make their name be known, so they go over the top and become jackasses.
Mm-hmm.
Was it last year, the year before, that the Detroit's coordinator was screaming at the top of his lungs?
I remember that. And some guys trying to make a name for themselves just by the palm of Hard Knocks. I remember when the Bucks were on it, one of their coaches back in the day tried to do the same thing. So, yeah, they try and make a knee slap joke here and there, and not too funny, realistically.
Literally, I the jackass is right outside my window. Tell us about the Tampa Bay game tonight.
Yeah, so the Bucs game tonight, huge game for the Bucs, huge litmus test for the Bucs. Are they going to be competitors for the duration of the season? And I think that starts with tonight's matchup. If they battle the Eagles tough, if they go with them for all four quarters, which I think they will, I think they have a pretty good chance of competing for the South with the likes of Atlanta and New Orleans at the end of time. And I think tonight's game, as we said earlier, is going to rely on turnover-free football. Could Baker Mayfield continue to play turnover-free football? And could the Bucs force Jalen Hurts into maybe fumbling or throwing an interception? So the turnover battle is going to be key tonight, and I think they contain Hurts pretty well tonight. I think the Bucs do a nice job of that, and I think the Bucs really hang tough with this scrappy Philadelphia team who, let's be honest, probably one of the two favorites in the NFC, but they haven't looked great yet. So I think the Bucs are playing them at a nice time while the Eagles are still figuring things out. Because anytime you lose two coordinators to head coaches, they lost the defensive coordinator Gannon to Arizona. They lost Steichen to Indianapolis. That's a big loss. I think they're still trying to find themselves after that, and I think the Bucs are playing them at an opportune time.
Good Lord. I mean, this guy has like a damn snowblower literally right outside my window, and I'm like staring at him like, what are you doing to me, son? What are you doing to me?
This guy is...
Oh, my God. Like, he's hanging out. He's never this thorough, by the way. I want to throw this out there. He's never this thorough. I don't know if he's trying to listen into the show. I don't know what he's doing, but I couldn't hear hardly anything that was going on. That's why I was like, take it away, Tonesy. And I potted down my mic. So it's like, this is asinine. Anyways, I do apologize to everyone involved.
He's tuning in. He's trying to be a co-host.
This has been a technical disaster today. We do apologize. Tone's coming in and out of the third dimension, whatever was going on there, and then I've got foghorn leghorn, literally at one point while you were talking, I looked over and the blower's literally like outside the window, next to the open window. I'm like, dude, why don't you just throw a bomb in here, Lenny? I mean, come on, man. You're killing me, son. Anyways, real quick, over under is 44.5. -5. Mm-hmm. Where are you going? Because we got to walk this off.
I'm going with the Bucks and the points, and I'm going with the over. I think the over does come in.
You do think? I'm so on the. I've actually stayed away from this game. I've had a really good weekend, all in all. Probably talk more about that tomorrow. But I teased the under, but it's a pretty hefty tease. At the time that I got it, it must have been much higher because I've got under 55.5. But that's a healthy
like that.
Tease. That's the only thing I touch. I don't feel good about taking the Eagles on a tease just to win. I really do feel like that they could lose this game, but I'm a little concerned that Bucks can't get the running game going because of that damn defensive front of Philadelphia, and all of a sudden I've got the Bucks plus 11. I'm going, come on! When'd you get a first down? So I was like, I'm staying away from it. I'm going to keep my blood pressure down. I'm done. Done. What's your walk-off, sir? We got a jam.
Walk-off is go Bucks tonight, go Braves country, and looking forward to being on Wednesday for Cubs Braves.
My lock, I'm gonna take the Rams. It's 3 now, +3.
Wow.
And I think by kickoff, you might even get +3.5, +4, because people are going to get all in love with that Joe Burrow train. I'm telling you, the Rams are a much better team than what folks realize. They're going to hang. Give me the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
I've got them in a couple of teasers. I'm waiting for that to come home. I was hoping Burrow wouldn't play, and then I would be able to grab Cincinnati on the money line on a really good get, but it's looking more and more like they're going to give it a go. That doesn't mean, by the way, that he finishes the game. That just means he's going to take the first snap, and then here comes Jake Browning for the rest of the game, and you're like, ah! All right, brother, enjoy the game. And we will see you later in the week. Hopefully your Bucks bring you a happy thoughts tonight. And I'm excited. It's the first time I have a chance to see the Bucks really play tonight. So I am actually going to watch the game. And the Braves are off. So there you go. We'll see y'all manana, same bat time, same bat channel. Y'all have a great day here. And get your morning started right on Ryan O Radio Penitentiary.
Goodbye, sweetheart, well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same back time, same back channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I...
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.